So our reading is Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, and that's on page 966 of the Church Bibles. Give me your best winning smile when you found it. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Great. Well, please do keep your Bibles open. We're going to pray before we find out what this passage has to say. Let's pray together. Father, we pray, please, that you would help us now as we continue a little bit to think about Christmas and the events that happened there. Pray, please, that you would help us to listen and to understand your word. Teach us, we pray in your name. Amen. Well, and children, young people, if you want to come sit down the front here, you can see a bit better, and I'm going to need your help a bit later on. You can bring your parents if you want. They love sitting on the floor. Or there's some chairs along the front here. That's it. Do come sit down. Now, there are some characters in the Christmas story. Sorry, I should caveat this with, I'm sorry, I know Christmas is over. Maybe you've taken down your decorations already. But we're just going to think a little bit more about the Christmas story. Because there's some characters that often get missed. And there's good reason for that. Because they weren't actually there at the first Christmas when Jesus was born. They missed it. They didn't get to see Jesus as a newborn baby. In fact, they pitched up sometime afterwards. It was probably a couple of years later. So by that time, Jesus wasn't a tiny little baby away in a manger anymore. He was probably a bit more like the age of Titus, who's toddling around. Jesus was a bit older. But you have to give them a break, because they'd traveled a really long way to get there. And so we're going to think about the characters known as the three kings, or sometimes we call them wise men. Has anyone ever dressed up as a king or wise men, maybe in a school nativity? Alex has. Miriam has too. Some of you have. Well, tomorrow is the 6th of January. It's traditionally called Epiphany, and it's when we celebrate the Magi, the wise men, come in to visit Jesus. And like I said, it was probably about 2 years later. But some people, they don't even give their Christmas presents until tomorrow. Can you imagine having to wait till tomorrow to get all of your Christmas presents that you've just had? But the thing is, though, I wonder if you noticed, they weren't actually kings. We read in the Bible passage just there that it didn't say kings, it said something else. So have a look down in verse 1. What does it call them? Someone shout it out. Magi. Now that's an unusual word, isn't it? Magi. We don't really use that word a lot nowadays. But I think this is a good time for me to introduce our resident expert on all things Christmassy. He's called Christopher Mass. Let's bring in him. Everyone say hello, Christopher. Say hello, Christopher.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello there, Christopher.
Oh, please, please, please call me Chris.
Chris.
Yes.
As in Christmas.
Yes.
Right, okay. Well, do you know what? Chris is brilliant. He is. Chris is like a walking, talking Christmas Wikipedia. Do you guys know what Wikipedia is?
No.
Yeah, you don't. Well, it's kind of like it tells you everything you need to know. And Chris knows nearly everything. And that's because he studied really hard in school. You're an example to us all, aren't you, Chris? But see that big book that Chris has got there? Chris literally wrote the book on Christmas. Everything you need to know is all in that book there. There we go. Everything you ever needed to know or wanted to know, and the bits you didn't too. It's all in it, and it's all in Chris's mind. So do you think we should test him to see how clever he is? Yeah. Okay, so Chris, just cover your ears for a moment, would you? Now, let's think of an interesting Christmas fact. I found out one recently. Do you guys, maybe you've been up to London to see the lights and stuff. There's a massive tree in Trafalgar Square. Has anyone ever seen that? Yeah, some of you have. Does anyone know where it comes from? I found this out. Philippa, doesn't it? Maybe you should be our Christmas expert. Do you know where it comes from?
Norway.
It does. It comes from Norway. So let's see if Chris knows that. Let's see if he's as clever as Philippa. Chris, he can't hear me. Maybe we'll have to all say, on three, we'll say Chris together. One, two, three. Chris, we've got a question for you.
Right.
We're going to test your Christmas knowledge to make sure you really are the expert.
Okay.
So the big tree in Trafalgar Square at Christmas, do you know where it comes from?
Of course I know where it comes from. It comes from Norway. It's given every year as a gift from the people of Norway to the people of Britain for the help that they gave the Norwegians during the Second World War.
Brilliant. Well done. Thank you, Chris. Why don't we test him with another one? Chris, cover your ears again. Has anyone got a good question we could ask Chris? Maybe something Christmassy we could ask him? Yeah, Brian.
How many of Rudolph's eight companions have names beginning with D?
Oh, that's a good one. Does anyone know the answer? Do any of you guys know? Or maybe some of them? Any of the reindeers? You think you know? One or two of them?
Three.
Oh, Liam thinks about three. What do you think, Annabelle?
Four,
okay. Well, let's ask Chris and see if he knows. Chris?
Yes.
Brian had a great question. How many of Rudolph's companions, the reindeers, have names beginning with D?
Oh, it's easy. There are three beginning with D. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner und Blitzen.
Brilliant. Well done, Chris. So three have names beginning with D. Well, now, Chris, now that you've proved your knowledge to us, I think he's quite an expert on things Christmassy. Why don't you tell us about the men we've just read about? So we said sometimes they're called kings, but the passage said they were called Magi, and they visited sometime after Jesus was born. But what does Magi mean?
Well, Magi is actually a word that comes from the same root as the Greek word magos, which is all about magic. And it comes from an ancient Phoenician word which was related to astrologers and magicians who were priests. And so they were, Magi were actually magicians, a bit like Dumbledore in Harry Potter. The only difference being is that Harry Potter was, Dumbledore is actually a figment of the imagination, where these guys were actually real. And they studied the stars as well. They were astrologers, and they looked for the meaning of life in the stars.
That's really interesting. Thanks, Chris. Am I right in thinking there's lots that we don't know about the Magi?
Oh, absolutely. There is a lot that we don't know. I mean, traditionally, we didn't even know what they were called, but traditionally, they're given the names Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. But we're only guessing that because the Bible doesn't actually say that. We'll find out when we meet them in heaven, though. I'm sure about that. And also, we don't actually know that there were three. We take traditionally that there were three because there were three gifts, but we don't know how many there were who actually came to see Jesus. And the other thing is, we don't actually know where they're from, because the Bible just says they're from the east, and the east is a very, very big place. All we do know is that they weren't from Israel. They weren't born and brought up in Israel.
Thanks, Chris. That's really helpful. It's great to have your knowledge for this. So because they're from the East, they wouldn't have known much about God or the Old Testament or the history of Israel like the Jews would. Chris, we'll be back with you in a few minutes. Now, to make this come alive, I'm going to need some wise men. And knowing this church as I do, then this church is awash with wise men. Can I have three wise men that are happy to help me, please? You don't have to say anything. You just have to stand here looking wise, maybe stroking your long beard. Anyone want to be a wise man? Andrew, up you come. Oh, you guys, I think we might need bigger people, but thank you. You guys, that's really helpful. Who else can we have? Wise men. Dan, you're a wise man. And Mark, why don't you come and be our third wise man? Thank you. So while I brief them on their role as wise men, just stand there looking wise, stroking your beards for now. Brilliant. Well, oh, look, they've all got beards. Perfect. Almost. I'll brief them on their role, we're going to sing our next song. And the song we're going to sing is called I Will Worship. And actually, we're going to think about how the wise men, how the Magi went to worship Jesus and they bowed down to worship him. So let's stand and let's sing together. Now, we're going to pick up our story a bit before this, but before the Magi set out from the East. So let's give a big welcome to our Magi. Here they come. Give them a round of applause. Might have to duck through the door. There we go. They're looking very wise. Now we find our Magi in the local Argos store, flicking through a laminated catalogue of dreams. Actually, more likely scrolling through the website on their phones. Have you found any presents for Jesus at Argos?
No, just a big sale.
Oh, there's a sale. Oh, well, that might be helpful. Any ideas, guys? What would you get for a little kind of toddler? What would you buy them? What might be good Christmas presents? Go on then, Annabelle.
Baby toys.
Baby toys. That might be a good thing. Anything else? What might you buy? Yeah.
A crib.
A crib. That would be a great thing, wouldn't it? Somewhere for the baby to sleep. Anything else? Adults, what would you buy? Books, yeah, books, puzzles. What do you say?
Nothing.
You'd be a horrible big brother, wouldn't you? Well, I think we might need some expert advice on top gifts to give to babies. So let's turn to our expert once more, Chris Mass. Chris, I believe you've done some research for us, have you?
I have, and just like the Magi, I've been scrolling through Amazon, and the Amazon website a couple of days ago was showing the best-selling presents for two-year-olds were one, stacking pegboard, two, a baby shark tablet, three, Spike the Fine Motor Hedgehog, four, the Radio Flyer Scoot About Bike, and five, wait for this one, a toy Dyson Ball Vacuum Cleaner.
Thanks, Chris. Interesting, as always. But the wise men, they didn't go for anything like that, did they? And even if they'd have had toy Dysons back in the East when the wise men were around, they still wouldn't have gone for that. And that's because they knew this baby was someone special. They knew it was no ordinary child that they were visiting. And so they chose gifts to help us understand who Jesus is. Now, of course, if there were three wise women, then they would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby, brought practical gifts. They would have cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and there would be peace on earth. But the gifts that the wise men brought were more important than nappies, more important than a crib and toys and baby grows. They were expensive and rare, precious gifts for a special child. There were gifts fit for a king. Now, does anyone know? Can you tell us the first gift? Maybe one of you guys down here might know. Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. Well done. The first one was gold. And hold on, if you know the other ones, we'll get to that. And they gave that to Jesus because he was a king. Back to Chris Mass. He's going to tell us a bit more about gold.
Gold, indeed. So this is what gold looks like. That's what gold looks like. precious metal, and it's very precious. One of the things is that it doesn't go bad, it doesn't go rusty, or it doesn't fade away. And it's something that we signify really special things. So wedding rings are made out of gold because they're really special. But also, because it's so special, it's very expensive. So to have lots of gold, you've got to be very wealthy. And it's one of the things that is given that marks a king, because a king would have lots of gold. And the wise men brought gold to signify that Jesus was king.
Brilliant. So gold's a great present to give to Jesus because it shows us he's king of God's people. The angel, when the angel came to the shepherd, said he's going to be one born to rule over his people. And he governs and he guides us and he shows us in the words he's written down for us in the Bible. Now, what was the second present? You had your hand up, didn't you? Frankincense. Brilliant. Well done. Now, they gave him frankincense because Jesus wasn't just a king, but he was God come down as king, God living as a human. Back to Chris Mass for a comment on this.
So frankincense looks like this. And what it is, it's this sticky ball stuff, and that resin that comes from the sap of a tree. And what happens is that when you burn it, it makes a smell, and it was used in worship of God in the temple, where they burn it off, and the smoke, the smell of the incense rises up in praise and worship to God. And so this was to indicate that Jesus was God.
Some of you might have incense at home. It kind of comes in sticks and you burn it and it makes your house smell nice. But this is a great present for Jesus because he's also God. He's not just any other baby. Now, all parents think that their babies are special. When you were born, your parents thought you were the best thing ever, and they probably still do. One of you is like, no, I'm not going to say who that is. But Jesus was really special because he was a human baby, just like all of us were once, but he was also God. That's why he's called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, what was the last gift they gave? Yeah, go for it.
Myrrh.
Well done. Brilliant. You guys are really good at this. They gave him myrrh because Jesus was our sacrifice. Back to Chris one last time.
And here we have a picture of myrrh, because myrrh is a spice. And what myrrh was used for in those days was to wrap in with dead bodies to make them smell a little bit nicer. So the myrrh that was given to Jesus was because it was associated with death. And it was all about when Jesus was going to die. That's what the myrrh was for.
Now, it's a bit of a strange gift, isn't it? Not only because it looks like mixed fruit that you might put in your Christmas cake, but actually, it's an odd gift to give to a baby, isn't it? Most parents wouldn't be very happy if you gave them a present that was associated with death. It'd be a bit like giving them a coffin as a present for a baby. It wasn't very nice, and they wouldn't be very happy at all. Actually, they'd probably be quite cross. But it was a great present for Jesus, because one of the main reasons we remember Jesus coming as a baby is that he grew up to die. And actually, we read, you can read this in Mark 15, when it talks about Jesus' death and his burial, talks about the use of myrrh in that process. One of the main reasons Jesus came to die was as a sacrifice for us, to save us, people like us, from all the trouble that we're in, all the wrong things that we do, for the way that we've treated God, the things that we haven't done and lived for him. And that's what the Bible calls sin. And it says, actually, sin deserves to be punished, those bad things that we do. Now, one of the most amazing things about Jesus is not just that he's king, not just that he's God come as a king, but he's the God and king who came to die for us, because he loves us so much. He really is someone we can trust. Well, we're going to sing again, and then we're going to come back and think a bit more about these gifts. And our song is We Three Kings. So I wonder if in the song you can spot those three gifts that we just talked about. And also, I want you to find out from the song, what was it that they followed? We find that in the song. We're going to ask you a bit later. You guys can stay here. So if you stand here, and let's stand and we'll sing together. before we go back to the final part of our talk, we're going to pray together. And before we pray, we're going to say the confession. The confession is when we say sorry to God for how we've lived. We were just talking about sin, weren't we? About how we don't always do what God says, and we get ourselves into all kinds of trouble. Actually, the Magi followed God, didn't they? They were told to go and they went, but we don't always do that. But Jesus, our God and King, he died for our sin. And so we're going to say sorry. And what we're going to do is when I say Father, then together we'll say the words in bold, we are sorry. So they're on the service sheets and they'll also come up on the screen behind me. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sin, for turning away from you and ignoring your commands. Father, we are sorry. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, we are sorry. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, we are sorry. For failing to love others through selfishness, greed, and apathy. Father, we are sorry. Well, the best thing, as we have seen, is that Jesus grew up and he died for us. He came to save us. So when we say sorry, we know that he will forgive us. Why don't we pray and thank him for that? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for what he did. As we remember when he was born at Christmas, but then how he grew up and he died for us. Thank you that he is your King and God with us, that he saves us when we ask for forgiveness. Please help us to live for him. Amen. Now, before we go any further, we said that these three, they're not kings, they're the Magi. But did anyone notice or remember the name of the king that was mentioned in the passage that we read? Do you remember? Yeah, brilliant. Well done, King Herod. Now, King Herod wasn't very happy to hear about Jesus being born. And so he tried to get the Magi to tell him where Jesus was so that he could go and, well, what does he say in verse 8? What does he say he wants to do?
So that I can worship him.
This guy did it from memory. Brilliant. Well done. He said so we can go and worship him. Yeah, I don't really think Herod wanted to worship him. But after that, the Magi don't go back and tell Herod. And so he is furious. He does not want Jesus to be king. And so what he does is he kills all of the boys under the age of 2 to try and get rid of this new king, Jesus. But luckily, Jesus escapes with his parents. God warns them and they escape to Egypt. Now, back to the Magi. So here we are. Magi, you can have a seat. We rejoin them in the departure lounge, waiting for their transport. But this was back in the days before international flights. And so what do you think they used to get there? How did they get there? How did they travel from the east? Any ideas?
Camel.
Brilliant. Well, we're not actually told, but it probably was a camel, because we know they didn't fly or take a helicopter. That was the way people traveled, people from the east. They got there by camel. But how did they know where to go? Do you think they used Google to get there? What did they use?
Waze.
Waze. What did they use? How did they know where to go? Yeah. Yeah, God. And what did he use to show them? You've answered load. I bet someone else can do it. Go on then, Annabelle. A star, brilliant, well done. And we sung about that in the song, didn't we? They followed the star. God didn't use Waze or Google or a sat nav to show them. He gave them a star because this was such a special baby and it was a special journey that they were going on that it needed something really special. This was God come as a king to rescue us by dying for us. And why were they going to see him? Well, maybe some of you go and visit relatives and they have little babies. And most of us, we do all kinds of embarrassing things, don't we? We say, oh, coochie, coochie, coo, oh, lovely little baby. And we try and make them laugh and pull faces at them to try and make them smile, don't we? But actually, what do these do? I wonder whether you notice what the wise men did. There's a word that appears 3 times in the passage we just read. So verses 2 and 11. Can anyone see? What did they do when they came? They worshipped him. Brilliant. These guys from memory. And what was the other one? Let's have an adult tell us. Brilliant. Well done. It says they bowed down and they worshipped him. Do you know what that looks like? It looks like this. They bowed down and they worshipped him. No, do you know what? They actually would have done that. That's how they would have bowed down and worshipped Jesus. Now, that's not normal, is it? Guys, you can sit back on your chairs. Adults don't normally do... Have you seen your parents do that when they visit small children? Do they do that to you? No, it's not a normal thing to do, is it? But the wise men thought there was good reason to do that when they met Jesus. They were absolutely convinced that this baby was more important than anyone or anything else. They knew that this little boy was God himself come to rescue his people like us by dying for us. And this reminds us, doesn't it? If Jesus is the king of the kind of king who came to die and rescue us, then he's the kind of king we should worship too, not just today, but every day. We should praise him and we should live for him. Now, Jesus is given three names in this passage. Did you spot them? You guys might not be able to do this one from memory. We might need to have the adults help us for this. Three names that he is given, or three titles. Can anyone tell us one of them? You've got two in verse 2 and you've got one in verse 6. Go on then, you think you know?
I think I know two.
Okay, give us one. Good, do one first.
Okay, then Emmanuel.
That's a really good answer. We didn't get that in this passage, but we get that somewhere else.
Then Messiah.
Brilliant, well done. Or sometimes it says Christ. Now we have a picture for this to remind us. I think it's yours, Dan, in the middle. Yeah, brilliant. Hold it nice and high so everyone can see. We're told that he's the Christ or the Messiah. Actually, the promised one written about in the Old Testament thousands and thousands of years ago, he's the one that was going to come and save. God's promised one, the chosen one from God. Great. There's another one in verse 2. I wonder if one of the adults or someone slightly older with a Bible can do that for us. King. Brilliant. Who's got the king one? There we go. He's the ruler. Nice and high, Daniel. He's the ruler of God's people. Jesus came to be king forever. Now, our queen, she's been queen for a long time, hasn't she? But Jesus is going to be king forever. His kingdom will never end. He's going to rule over his people. It also says that in verse 6, out of you will come a ruler. Now, what's the last one? Can anyone give us that? Do you think you know?
Shepherds.
How did you know that? Oh, you can see. Oh! Well done. Well played. The last one, verse 6. A ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Jesus came to care, to protect us. Like a shepherd cares for his sheep. Jesus came to care for us, to look after us, to be with us and to protect us. Now these three magi, they knew that Jesus was worth worshiping. And how can we not worship him? He is the best person to worship. These things are what makes him worth worshiping. He's the king. He's the Christ, the one who will save us. He's the shepherd, the one who will look after us. The Magi came looking for a star, and they found a king, a baby who would be king. They had no idea that God's people were waiting this for thousands and thousands of years. All they knew was that he was special, and the right reaction was to bow down and worship him. And so all we have to do is look at the Bible and we see who Jesus is and worship him. That's all we have to do. And that's what we do when we read, when we sing, when we meet together, we worship him. So let's pray now and let's thank God for Jesus and pray that he'd help us to worship him. Let's put our hands together and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the wise men, how they showed us that we worship Jesus, that they followed you, that they followed that star all the way to come and worship him. Father, please would you help us to worship you. Help us to read your word, to find out more about you, and to worship you in all that we do, that we would live for you and that we would love you more. In your name we pray, and with your help, amen.